You well know, we will begin this coming week a brand new Sefer Shmot. And as I mentioned last week, we transition very quickly in the early part of our Sefer, early part of our Parsha, the first few psukim. We transition away from Bereishit, we transition away from the individual, we transition away from Klal Yisrael's building blocks, and we move very fast into Klal Yisrael as a whole, as a general. And that is why Nechama Leibowitz points out, for example, that is why there is so much anonymity in the very beginning of Sefer Shmot. It takes us a while until we learn about Moshe and learn about Moshe's lineage, and even Moshe is only one person. But Vayelech Ish mi Beit Levi Vayikach et Bat Levi. We have Miyaldot. We don't even know their real names. Is it Yocheved? Is it Miriam? Is it Shifra? Is it Pua? Even in the Gemara, we don't know whether Shifra is the real name or Pua is the real name. Shifra is the real name, Yocheved is the real name, Pua is the real name. It's anonymous. Because the focus, quickly, we learn very early on that the focus is on the general. The focus is on Klal Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, and that is the way. The person we meet in Perek Aleph of our Parsha is the same person that we're going to meet all the way until the very last Perek and the last few psukim in all of the whole Chumash. So it's amazing that we went from, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of people and generations in Sefer Bereishit, and we go through one generation in the next four Svarim of Tanakh. Which goes to show you how much of a focus we're slowing down and we're broadening the lens, talking about Klal Yisrael, the whole, and not the individual. Having said that, I want to talk about Moshe, the individual. Because Moshe is the individual that we focus on more than any other individual, perhaps in Tanakh, certainly in the Chumash. And Moshe himself is born, and those of you who are going through the Parsha know that there is a dual identity to Moshe Rabbeinu early on, the young Moshe Rabbeinu. Most of what we know about Moshe Rabbeinu begins when he's 80 years old. Very few things do we know about him the first 80 years of his life. And if we focus for a moment on some of those things, combining both Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh, we see two completely different sides to Moshe Rabbeinu. On the one hand, we see a supernatural component to his life. Moshe Rabbeinu is born prematurely, even today. I'm not an expert in this, but a child born, you know, after 6 months, even today, you know, it's really touch and go for a little while, Chas v'Shalom. It's really, the trick, you know, is to really hold on, in pregnancy for as long as possible. 6 months is very early and very quick. And yet he's born and he's totally fine. He's so fine that he's healthy enough and that he can survive a boat ride. When the basket is opened, when he's born, we know from Rashi, the Gemara tells us, the whole house lights up. Supernatural. We know that when the basket is opened, it doesn't say v'hine tinok boche, it says v'hine na'ar boche. Remember that, Rashi. Going later in his life throughout, we have Moshe the miracle maker. And I'm going to talk about this in Mirtz Hashem a little later, but Moshe is such a miracle maker that he can't enter Eretz Yisrael. That's going to be the piece of Moshe. He cannot transition into being the leader of a natural nation. He is the Nate. He brings water, he brings man, he splits the sea, he brings the makot. He can survive. This is not drash. This is pshat in the pasuk. He can survive for 40 days and 40 nights without food or water. And all this is the Moshe Rabbeinu, the supernatural. And yet, at the very same moment, we also have Moshe Rabbeinu who is born from a man and from a woman. We saw that in the Gemara a few weeks ago. Remember what the Gemara calls him? A Yilod Isha. He's a man who's born. Natural husband and wife. Natural birth, so to speak. In other words, a human birth. If you hold of this philosophy and this hashkafa, and certainly, according to the Rambam, Moshe gets angry. Moshe is hesitant. when the Torah tells us, Vayifen ko bacho vayar ki einish, vayachet ha-mitzri vayitzbeneu bacho, Rashi tells us that he looked into the future and figures out whether Vayifen ko bacho vayar ki ein ish, he recognizes there's not going to be a tzaddik coming forward in this from this person. When if you get a chance, take a look at Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch is certainly of that style, who knows how to see the human side of people. And Rav Hirsch tells us, Vayifen ko bacho, he looked this way and that way. Why? Before he killed the Mitzri? To see if anybody... What's that? Oh, good. I like it. That's a good guess. That's a Wayne Gretzky kind of guess. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. I like that. But Rav Hirsch says, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful shot. Vayifen ko bacho, he was nervous. And he had to make sure, is anybody coming? He looked over this way, he looked over this way, and I can kill him. And Rav Hirsch, though, again, this is not for now, but the beauty of Moshe Rabbeinu is that the Moshe Rabbeinu who was able to stand before Paro and say, Shlach et ami, was not the Moshe Rabbeinu who was a little bit scared about whether he's going to kill some lowly Mitzri. He was a human being. And so we have these two sides of Moshe that are important to think about, and I want to try to figure out what this means. And I'd like to look at both of these two sides for a moment. We'll start with one of the sides, and we're going to look at an Ibn Ezra. The pasuk says, and I quoted the pasuk up here on top, Vayelech ish mi beit Levi, perek bet. Vayelech ish mi beit Levi, vayikach et bat Levi, vatahar ha'isha vateled bein, vatera vatere oto ki tovhu, vatitzpenehu shlosha yirachim, v'lo yachla od hatzpino. She couldn't hide him anymore. Vatikach lo tevat gomer, vatachmera bachemer, ubazefet, vatasem bat hayeled, vatasem basuf, al sfat hayor. The Ibn Ezra looks at this story. Who would give up a child almost certain death? Who would do that? And Rachman al-Tzlan, lo aleinu, we saw that in the Shoah. There are people who gave up their children. I'm not going to survive, but let them survive, even in the most risky and crazy way. The Ibn Ezra actually gives three possibilities as to why Moshe Yocheved would do this. As to why Yocheved would put Moshe Rabbeinu, hide him away, you know, for 3 months, and then put him in some kind of basket. The first answer, which I don't even quote here, the first answer, he says, is that she was perhaps getting afraid that the Egyptian neighbors would hear this baby. And so she was so afraid, and as soon as the Egyptian baby heard the baby, she was an Egyptian neighbor, heard the baby, they would tell the authority would come in, throw him away, and that's the end of the story, so she had to get rid of him somehow. The second thing, he says, perhaps, each one of these is a perhaps. He says, I don't know. He says, perhaps he, the Ibn Ezra, paraphrases Hagar. When it came to Yishmael, you know, I want to send Yishmael away. So the Ibn Ezra paraphrases Hagar and says, Al er'eh b'mot hayalad. I don't want to see, the baby's going to die. I just can't watch him die. So I'm going to send him away. He said, that's a possibility also. A third possibility is that Miriam had a nevuah. And the nevuah was, this is the way it's going to be. Okay, and he says, I don't know. I don't know why he did that. And then he gives a fourth possibility. And the fourth possibility goes like this. Take a look at the Ibn Ezra. Line 1 is what I had mentioned. Take a look at line 3 at the end. Ulai, says the Ibn Ezra, line 3 at the end. Everything I said so far is line 1, 2 in the middle of 3. Ulai sivev Hashem zeh. Maybe Hashem arranged it. Sheyigdal Moshe bebeit hamalchut. Perhaps, says Ibn Ezra, it's possible that Moshe Rabbeinu had to grow up in a palace. Lihiyot nafsho al madrega ha'elyona bederech halimud vaharigilut. Moshe Rabbeinu, who's going to lead Bnei Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, who's going to come back and fight Paro and threaten Paro and walk away in a huff later on, he had to grow up in a palace. Grow up in a palace, grow up with royalty, grow up with dignity. I have rights. I am in control. V'lo tihiyeh, middle of line 4, v'lo tihiyeh shfeila urigila lihiyot v'beit avadim. He couldn't grow up amongst the Avadim.
Halo Tireh, line 5. Sheharag Hamitzri Ba'avur Shehu Asa Hamas. Moshe Rabbeinu kills a Mitzri because the Mitzri was acting improperly. Ve'hoshia benot midyan meharoim ba'avur shayu osim chamas la'ashkot sonan mehamayim shedalu. And he goes and he eventually runs away to Midyan and he saves the children of Yitro, the daughters of Yitro, because the other shepherds were mistreating them. Ve'o davar, line 6. Ve'o davar acher ki ilu haya gadel bein echav v'yakiruhu min urav lo hayu yireim mimenu ki yachshavuhu ke'echad mehen. Not only did he have to grow up with royalty, with guts, with leadership, he also wouldn't have been accepted by his fellow Bnei Yisrael. Oh, he's one of us. You need someone from the outside coming in. It's human nature. It's very sad in some ways. And I understand that in certain contexts, it's very, very important to grow up among the people you're working with. You know, the manager of a McDonald's started out, you know, cleaning tables. And he or she is able to say, I remember what it was like when I was cleaning tables. There is that. Lahavdil. I don't want to compare things that shouldn't be compared, but for the sake of illustration, there in the United States, I know, for example, that if you want to join the American Army, you could. That's a lahavdil from McDonald's, but I'm going to get back. No, because you'll see what in a minute. I didn't mean to say it like that, because I'm going to compare it to the IDF. That in America, if you want to go to, you could either become a soldier, or you can go to, what's that called, north of Muncie by Bear Mountain? West Point. You can go to West Point, and you go to officer school. Well, in the IDF, the Tzahal does have officer school, but there isn't a single officer in the entire army who has not done basic training as a plain old, you know, regular plain old soldier. Chapash, chayal pashut, a plain old soldier. And there's no such thing. The highest ranking Ramat Kal, Rosh Mate Klali, the head of the Israeli army, starts out lowly. And I understand that. When it came to Klal Yisrael, they were not at that level. They couldn't see a slave becoming a head. And so Moshe Rabbeinu, according to Ibn Ezra, Hashem arranged it, that Moshe Rabbeinu had to grow up leadership. Ooh, he's one of them. He's got leadership, he's got charisma, he's articulate. Turns out he wasn't so articulate, right? But Hashem made him so. And this side of Moshe Rabbeinu was a side that came straight from somebody else. He did nothing to make himself that way. He was born. That's all he did. He was born. And he was born into a certain circumstance, in a certain situation, and he was raised to become Moshe Rabbeinu. And that is, on this level, that is a very, very powerful statement to make for you and me. When we're thinking, and you are thinking slowly, you know, you're going to build a family one day, and you're going to create an environment in Meitz Hashem for your children, and your parents have done a beautiful job, you know, creating a beautiful, you know, nurturing environment for you. It's an incredible blessing. The blessings you've received, it's also blessings that you're going to Meitz Hashem convey further. How important environment is, how important nurturing is. You know, the whole nature versus nurture. This is clearly, according to Ibn Ezra, this side of the Ibn Ezra is certainly toward the side of nurture. Moshe Rabbeinu could have been Moshe Rabbeinu, born to a slave, but stayed a slave his whole life, schlepped, you know, pyramid rocks his whole life. He would not have been Moshe. It seems b'derech hateva. And so we need to appreciate that and understand how important it is, the nurturing. Having said that, there is a completely different side. There's a completely different side, and that is the next. And we saw it already. Vayelech ish mi beit Levi, vayikach et bat Levi. This side says it's a regular beit ish mi beit Levi. It's a regular bat Levi. And what does that mean? Take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam, Hilchot Tshuva Perek Hey, Halacha Bet. Al Ya'avor B'machshavotecha Davar Zeh She'omrim Tipshei Umot Ha'olam V'rov Golmei B'nei Yisrael. Do not think for a moment, line 1 in the Rambam. Do not think for a moment Do not think for a moment the thing that tipshe umot ha'olam, certain foolish people, or golmei Yisrael, what's a golem? Like an undeveloped, non-sophisticated people say. Shekarosh Baruch Hu gozer al ha'adam mitchilat briyato lihiot tzadik o rasha. That's it. I'm born that way. God is good. That's it. I'm a rasha. What can I do? I'm a tzadik. What can I do? Ein hadavar kein, middle of line 2. Ela kol adam ra'ui lihiot tzadik kemo sherabenu. Every single Jew has the opportunity and the ability. We're not talking Ibn Ezra, we're not talking nurture. Every single person has the ability to be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. Oh, chas v'shalom, I'm adding those words. Line 3, rasha ki yiravam. Person can be a rasha if they want. Oh, chacham, person can be wise. Oh, sachal, person can be foolish. O Rahman, a person can be generous, merciful. O Achzari, a person can be cruel. O Kilai, a person can be miserly. O Shua, a person can be generous. V'chein shar kol hadeyot. V'ein lo mi shechafuhu. There's no one who can force this person to take any mida this way or that way. V'lo gozer alav. Nobody can decree it. Line 4. V'lo mi shemoshcho le'echad mishnei hadrachim elahu me'atzmo umida'ato note le'ezo derech sheyirtze. Anybody can choose. And anybody can be anything they want. Anybody can be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. And you can't say, well, my parents this, and my economic status that, and the school that I went to, I can't, and the money that my family has is this. No such thing. It's true, each one of us has certain ingredients that make us somewhat who we are. But we take those ingredients, and it's totally up to us. And anybody can be a tzaddik or a rasha any way they want. That's exactly what Vayelech Ish mi Beit Levi Vayikach et Pat Levi. Yes, later in the parsha, we're going to learn who Moshe is. We're going to learn his entire ancestry. But Pashut Pshat, excuse my language, this is a regular guy. That's what it says. See, we know the end of the story. But if you never learn Perek Bet Sefer Shmot, and I just said, Vayelech ish mi Beit Levi, Vayikach et Pat Levi. Once upon a time, there was a guy, and he was born. You don't know who it is yet, because he wasn't who he was yet. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't born yet. Somebody was born, and he became Moshe Rabbeinu. Isn't that incredible? That's the other side of the Moshe. Is there the supernatural side? There is. Is there the, quote, preordained side? There is. Is there the side that Moshe was put into a certain position so that God could create the Yetziat Mitzrayim? Yes. But there's the other side of the Moshe Rabbeinu. The plain old guy who's born and becomes Moshe. And you know what that lesson is for you and me? I can do it, and you can do it. We can do it. And there's nobody to blame, and there's nobody to look at. It's just you and me, God. That is a important shot, but I want to take it one step further. Phenomenal. The Gemara, the next Gemara that you have on the page there. It's a Gemara Masechet Sota Daf Yud Bet Amud Bet. If you ever want, have you gotten there already? Oh, so this is Chazara for you. If you ever want to review Rashi's on Chumash, take a look at the beginning of Masechet Sota, and this Parsha is found around, well, actually, Vayechi is Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, but Yud Bet Amud Bet is our Parsha, is Shmot. And look what the Gemara says. It starts very right away there. The Gemara begins quoting a pasuk from our Parsha. Vatomer achoto el bat paro. Ha'elech v'karati lach isha meineket min ha'ivriot. When Moshe is pulled from the water. Now Miriam, I'm sorry, Batya didn't give birth to him, so she couldn't nurse him. So his sister just happens to be there, Moshe's sister, and she said, should I go call a Jew to nurse him? Says the Gemara, and Rashi quotes it. You'll take a look in Perek Bet Pasuk Zayin. Rashi quotes this Gemara. Umay shna me ivriot. Why ivriot? Why would she say ivriot? You know, what's bothering Rashi? This is what's bothering Rashi. It's not bothering Rashi, it's bothering the Gemara. You're going to the daughter of Paro. I mean, imagine. Lahavdil elef alfei abdalot. I don't want to compare things that shouldn't be compared. But for the sake of illustration, can you imagine Barack Obama has a plumbing problem in the White House and somebody walks over and says, please don't take this personally, anybody. Should I go get a Canadian to fix it? There's nothing wrong, Halila. You know how much we love Canadians, but if you're in the White House, you're not saying, can I call a Canadian? I mean, what's going on? The pipes are usually filled with ice anyway. They're not used to, why would I, let me get an American to fix it. So Lahavdil, you're the king of Egypt. Should I get a Jew? What are you talking about? They're slaves. We're killing their children. It's a good question, no? It's a good question. The Gemara says like this. Melamed says the Gemara. The Pasuk has to be teaching me. Second line right in the middle. Shehichziruhu lemoshe al kol hamitzriot kulan. They tried. Egyptian woman after Egyptian woman after Egyptian woman. Velo yanak. And he didn't nurse. He didn't nurse. He refused to nurse. Omar. What did he say? Peh she'atid ledaber im hashchina yinak davar tamei. This is the same mouth that's going to be talking to the Shechina in a few years. Talking to the Shechina and receiving the Torah and giving it to Bnei Yisrael and teaching Torah. How could he put something tamei in his mouth? Even at that young age, so to speak. Okay. It's a very powerful thing. The Ramah is the next source in Shulchan Aruch and Yeredeya Simin Pei Aleph. The Ramah says the following incredible thing. The Ramah says, Chelev Chalav Mitzrit Kichalav Yisrael. It's talking there. I don't mean to. It's halacha and it's Torah, so we have to talk about it. But there's different, you know, kinds of milk, and is nursed milk kosher or not? So he says that Egyptian milk is like Jewish milk. Umi kol makom, says the Rama. Lo yaniku tinok min hamitzrit im efshar b'Yisraelit. If you can avoid it, says the Rama of Moshe Isserles. If you can avoid it, don't let a Jewish child nurse from an Egyptian, if you can avoid it, go to a Jew. Why? Dechalav mitzrit mitamtem. Whatever that means. This is a different shiur about how food, you are what you eat. You are what you eat. This is the chok of kashrut. This is, you are what you eat. Okay. That's the Ramah. What is the source of the Ramah? Well, the Vilna Gaon has a Beyur Hagra on Shulchan Aruch, on Yeredeya, on Simin Pei Aleph. And where do you think the Ramah gets this from? Where do you think he gets it from? From our Gemara, from our Parsha. Everybody with me? This is not to miss. Everybody get this? We have a Pasuk which tells us, according to the Gemara, it has to be, that Moshe Rabbeinu could not nurse from an Egyptian woman. The Ramah, according to the Vilna Gaon, the Graz, the Vilna Gaon, Hagon Rabbeinu Eliyahu, the Vilna Gaon, 18th century, the Vilna Gaon explaining, understanding the Ramah, says, I'll tell you where the Ramah gets the halacha from. The Ramah says that you cannot nurse, you should not nurse from an Egyptian, you should nurse from a Jew. And where do we get that from? From our Pasuk. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, who died in 1986, he died in the same year as Rav Moshe Feinstein, two Gedole Hador of the 20th century and Gedole Hador of America. They really recreated American Jewry. Died in the same year. I had the zechut of being at their levaya. I was in Israel studying. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, he was the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Vadas. He asks a very simple question. If you have a baby, and whatever, let's say he can't nurse from a Jew, and he can't nurse, so you have an Egyptian, I don't know, nurse mate, what are they called? Wet nurse? So you might as well just have him or her nurse from the Egyptian. No, not. Why? The Rama said not to. Where did the Rama get it from? The Vilna Gaon tells us. The Vilna Gaon tells us from our Gemara, from our Pasuk. Hold on a second. The whole source of the halacha comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. The source of the halacha comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't nurse from an Egyptian woman because he is going to speak to the Shekhinah. How many people have spoken to the Shekhinah? I mean, nobody since at least in that way, since the Torah was closed, since the Navi was closed. That's the whole reason why I can't have a child today, 2014, can't nurse from an Egyptian because of Moshe Rabbeinu, because he may. But the Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the Shekhinah. Who knows? Says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, the reason why a Jew in 2014, a baby, cannot nurse, indeed comes from Moshe. Why? From our Rambam. Every single Jew has the potential to talk to the Shekhinah. Can you imagine? It's a halacha, black and white, in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Ramah. Every single Jew has the potential to talk to the Shekhinah. I don't know, this kid is 2 weeks old. No, there's a potential there. This girl, this guy, he may speak to the Shekhinah. We can't mess around. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to be. Because every single Jew does have the potential. Every single Jew has the ability to talk to the Shekhinah. And therefore, halachically, I need to avoid certain things because who knows who my child is going to turn out. Now, everybody thinks their child's genius. Everybody thinks, no, it's true. Every single child has the potential to talk to Shekhinah, you and me, and therefore we follow halacha. This is reflected, this idea is reflected in when Moshe finally meets HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the Sneh. Moshe meets Hashem, is revealed that he is going to be saving B'nai Israel. And you'll see at the bottom of the page, and there's another source on the top of the next page, you'll see at the bottom of the page, Sefer Shmot, Perek Gimel, Moshe Rabbeinu, beginning of Perek Dalet also, Moshe Rabbeinu, day after day after day, arguing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, five different conversations. Go through the Psukim, you'll see five different conversations. And in the middle of this debate, says the following, Perek Gimel Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayomer Moshe, Ela Elohim, Mi Anochi Keilech El Paro V'chi Otzi Et B'nei Yisrael Mimitzrayim. Who am I? Vayomer Ki Eheyeh Imach, I'll be with you, says Hashem, don't worry about it. V'zeh Lecha Ha'ot Ki Anochi Shalachticha Be'otziacha Et Ha'am Mimitzrayim Ta'avdun Et Ha'elokim Al Ha'har Hazeh. Vayomer Moshe el Elohim, Hinei Anochi Ba'al B'nei Yisrael, V'yamarti Lahem Elokei Avoteichem, Shalachani Aleichem, V'yamru Li Ma Shemo, Ma Omar Aleichem, I want to do it. They're going to say, okay, who sent you? What should I say? Vayomer, says Pasuk Yudalid, Vayomer Elohim el Moshe, Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh, I will be that which I shall be. Vayomer Ko Tomar Livnei Yisrael, Ehyeh Shalachani Aleichem. Says Hashem, I will be what I shall be. What does that mean? Well, how does that answer the question? So if you have a moment, please turn the page over to the Eish Kodesh. The Piazetz Narav of Klonus Kalman Shapiro wrote a sefer called Eish Kodesh. There's a shul in Woodmere called Eish Kodesh. It's after his sefer. This is his sefer. He says the following unforgettable pshat, which fits in line exactly to this Moshe Rabbeinu and this dual identity, that everybody has the potential to talk to the Shekhinah and to rise to the Tzidkut level of Moshe. Listen to what he says. V'zeh haremez she'amar Moshe Rabbeinu mi anochi. Moshe said, who am I? And that I should take B'nai Israel out. She'kevan she, end of line one, she'kevan she'haya anav mikol ha'adam. Moshe Rabbeinu was the more modest than anybody else. Lachin halach b'machshavot ki'ilu mi anochi v'chiyotzi. He's so humble that he even said, who am I? V'heshiv lo Hashem. And Hashem says back to him, beginning of line 3, Lo shebe'emet ein ata ra'ui. Velo shebe'emet chas v'shalom chesronim b'cha.
You don't really have, you have it in you. You don't, it's not like as if you cannot.
Rather, rak min avodahi.
It's a form of avoda.
Avoda ha-me'ira u-mishtal-shelet mi-b'chinat Hashem ehyeh.
Moshe Rabbeinu, you're asking me through your modesty, how can I do this? And I say to you that it's an avoda. You can do it. It's just that you need the avoda of ehyeh.
What is that avoda? Shele, the end of line 4, Shele eight ata, which means now, at this moment, Shele eight ata, end of line 4. Shele eight ata, ein ha'ish ro'eh bekirbo klum. At this moment, he or we don't see anything. Ve'omer belibo, ata, now, ein ani klum. Rak me'ata ehyeh. Ha'avoda shel b'chinat ehyeh imach.
Says the Piyazetz Nirav, the most gorgeous pshat. Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem wasn't answering Moshe Rabbeinu for Bnei Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was answering Moshe Rabbeinu the other question.
The second question was, what should I tell them? But the first question was, who am I? Mi anochi, who am I?
Hashem says, I'll tell you who you are. You have to work. You have an avoda. And the avoda is, Eheyeh, I shall be. We do not look at the past. I can never be somebody great because you have no idea what I did in 10th grade. You have no idea what I did 7 years ago. No idea, so there's no way that I can become great. There are people who are held back with chains because of their past. There are people, perhaps like Moshe, who were held back because of the present. I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody. So I can't become great. Who am I? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't look at the past and don't look at the present. Look at Ehyeh. Look at who I will be. Look at who I can become. Don't look at me now.
I'm talking to myself. I can't look at me now.
I certainly can't look at myself in the past. I'm going to look at myself. My vision is forward looking. Forward looking. I may have said this before, but I'll say it one more time. Many of you are drivers, and you're looking forward to being able to drive once again, I would imagine. And you drive. Baruch Hashem. Most of us come from countries where we sit on the left side of the car. Not all of us. But and you have a nice windshield. And you have a nice rear view mirror over here. Some of us drive on this side and have a rear mirror over here. Right? But a lot of us drive on this side and a mirror over here. We have a little mirror, rear view mirror in the middle there. Yeah? Blind spot? Are we familiar with the blind spot?
Yeah.
I have two kids who... Our drivers in Israel, I have a third who's learning how to drive, they never heard about the blind spot. Isn't that revealing? I mean, that's a pun. That wasn't meant to be. They never heard about the blind spot. I had to teach them that when you're turning into the right, you have to look over your shoulder and... Isn't that amazing? Yeah, I know. Don't be scared. I'm gonna talk to them. What's that? I'm sure they do. Maybe my kids weren't listening at that time. I'm sure the Israelis do. So you're driving, and you want to see where you're going. But you want to change lanes, so you have a rearview mirror, and you look, signal. Look over your shoulder and merge smoothly. So far?
Yeah.
Okay, I deal with a lot of new drivers, so I have to speak properly. Look and signal. I'm going. Now, would you get into a car? This is not related to the shear. Would you get into a car without seatbelts?
No.
Right answer. Asur min haTorah to drive without seatbelts. Put that aside. I mean that. Asur min haTorah to drive without seatbelts. Put that aside. I have a friend who
is the only person in the history of New Jersey who failed his driving test twice in the same day. And this is a true story. There's a friend of mine, and some of you know him. He gets into the car, driving test. New Jersey is a state in the United States. And he gets into the car, and the tester sits down next to him, and he goes, okay, proceed to the stop sign. So my friend says, you have to put on your seatbelt. So the tester says, no, it's fine, drive. So my friend thought that the tester was testing him, like, will you ever drive without a seatbelt? So he goes, and I'm not going to drive, unless you know you have to put on your seatbelt. He goes, I'm telling you, drive. And my friend says, I will not drive. And the guy goes, I will fail you if you do not drive. And again, he thought, like, this is the test. This is the Nisayon. We'll see how desperate, you know. And my friend turns up the car and says, I'm not driving. And the guy says, you failed. And he walks out. And the jaw hit the bottom of the floor. Like, what? So he goes into, you know, and he momish failed. So my friend walks in, and his father and he go into the manager of the DMV. That's a whole story to go find one. And it took him. He argued. And finally they said, fine, you're right. They shouldn't have failed him like that. We'll let him take it again. And he took the test, and he failed. But anyway, so that's not related to the shiur, but if I'm teaching you something, it's you must drive with seatbelts. Chalil v'chas, it's asur min ha-Torah to drive without seatbelts. Okay, would you drive without rear view mirrors?
No.
Okay, also, why not? Oh, because it's dangerous. Oh, so now I have a new model for a car. And the answer is as follows. If rear view mirrors are so important, that's what I'm going to do. Get into a car where the entire windshield is made of mirror. And that way you can see behind you really well. Would you drive in a car like that?
No.
You drive in a car where the largest window, the answer was no to that. Change your answer to no,
twice.
The last. Yeah. That's right. When I was in the army, they used to, every Motzei Shabbat, they used to test us on safety questions, but you were not allowed to work during the week if you didn't get 100 on the safety test. So they would give you the test, it was like 10 questions, a quiz. You know, are you allowed to shoot without permission from the officer? No. No, but if you got it wrong, then they review it. And they would say, okay, the answer to that question was no. And if somebody got it wrong, they'd say, change your answer to no. Change it to no, and then they submit it, and everyone got hundreds on the test. That's true. That's really true. Anyway, so change your answer to no. So why wouldn't you drive in a car with the whole windshield being a rearview mirror? And the answer is, because when you want to progress, and you want to progress safely, and you want to move from step A to step B, you may need a little mirror to look back and see where you were. I understand that. But the bigger window is the big windshield. That's what we're really looking at. The bigger vision is going forward. If your entire car is only looking backwards, guess what? You will never drive anywhere, and you shouldn't drive anywhere. Turn off the car and fail the test, because there's no way you're gonna go anywhere. If you have a little mirror, I understand. But the main window only looks forward. And if you spend your whole time looking in the rearview mirror, I wouldn't get in the car with you either. The main part is forward with a few flick of the eyes backwards. And that's exactly what the Piyazetzin is telling Moshe, that Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu. Who are you? Don't worry about now. The Avoda is Eheyeh. And how does the Torah continue? V'zeh l'cha ha'ot. Ki anochi shalachticha behotziacha ta'ami Mitzrayim. Since you are in kindergarten, you learned a medrash, but it's a medrash, and it's built for you and me, and not just for five-year-olds. I am a mountain so very high, right? It's a beautiful song, but we babied it. And you should, and teach your kids that song, and I did mine also. But have the maturity and the clarity to review it when you're older. What does that mean? What does it mean, a tiny little mountain? It's a medrash. It wasn't written, you know, no disrespect, Chalil v'chas. It wasn't written by Uncle Moshe. It was written by the Tanaim. So what does it mean? That's exactly what the Piyazetzin continues to say. You know what the message is? You know what the oath is? You know what the sign is that you don't look at the present? Right where you're standing, on this tiny little insignificant mountain, in just a few short weeks, this is going to be the most significant mountain in the history of humans on this planet. Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch coming down, man going up and receiving the greatest gift that was written generations before the creation of the world. The Torah will be given on this tiny little mountain. And Moshe, what? This is a nothing. Pick a bigger mountain. Pick a fancy mountain. No! The message of the Torah is don't look at now. The message of the Torah is don't look at the rearview mirror in the middle of the screen. Look off to the side maybe. But look forward. See beyond the tiny little mountain. And you must know Ta'avdun et Ha'elokim al Ha'har Hazeh. And you too, Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to go through this avodah. You've got to teach your children to go through this avodah. You've got to teach Bnei Yisrael to go through this avodah. When you go back to Bnei Yisrael, and they say to you, who is this God? We can't leave Mitzrayim. We're not worthy of leaving Mitzrayim. We are lowly slaves. And the answer is, Eheyeh. You are today. But you've got to be a fool to look at yourself only like this today. Lahavdil elef alfei adalot, every business opportunity that's ever been known. Everybody goes into a certain business because they think they can make more money than they're making currently. The reason why this company is sold for $1 million is because the people who buy it think it's going to be worth more than $1 million. Why would you ever buy something that's worth $1 million that'll never become more than $1 million? The whole point of business, buying a stock, and buying is always we think it's going to be worth more. So don't buy stocks in the New York Stock Exchange. First of all, buy them in Israel. But second of all, buy stock in yourself. And work on the avoda of Eheyeh. Yes, Moshe Rabbeinu has two sides. Yes, we are born into a certain family at a certain time with certain circumstances, and we are grateful. We must use those blessings. And at the same time, we also have to have the bechina of Eheyeh. We as individuals, Har Sinai, every single person can have the ability to be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. We should all be zocheh, Emir Tzah Hashem. Have a good evening.